Mornings, very good afternoon. It is Niall Boylan with you for the next hour or so. We couldn't resist but to do the podcast live today after the events last night in Newtown Mount Kennedy. And it's not just Newtown Mount Kennedy. Of course, it's all over the country for the last 2 years. But reading from the Irish Examiner, you would be fooled into believing there was a different story going on. Five people have been charged and are due to appear before the courts after the Gardaí say they came under attack while attending the scene of a fire at the disused property at Newtown Mount Kennedy, County Wicklow. The site has been mooted as a possible accommodation site for international protection applicants, and protests have been ongoing at the site at River Lodge, also known as Trudor House, in Newtown Mount Kennedy in recent weeks following confirmation that the Department of Integration was assessing its grounds for using for the housing of up to 160 people seeking international protection. Six people were arrested last night, and three men and one woman since have appeared and been charged for public order offences and are due to appear before the district court today. Another man was charged and released to appear before the court at a later date, and a teenage boy was released without charge, and a referral will be prepared for the Youth Diversion Project. A number of people gathered at the location yesterday, and the situation intensified, I believe, during the evening. The Garda Commissioner Drew Harris said the events of last night and targeting of Gardaí was unacceptable. Speaking during a visit to the site this morning, Mr. Harris said, this is Drew Harris, of course, there were very unacceptable scenes seen here in terms of protest, which then turned into violence. Attacks on members of An Garda Síochána Síochána were subject to verbal abuse and attacked with stones and rubble, which were thrown from the fields. Now, I put a comment up this morning, and I want to read it out to you, on Twitter. It said, shocking to watch this video and realise that it's a small rural town in Ireland. Now, I would be the first to agree, by the way, that there are a small number of agitators involved in all protests. No matter where the protests happen in the world, there's always going to be agitators. But most will be just concerned, frustrated, voiceless men and women and locals. And it's important, by the way, that we condemn all criminal behaviour or attacks on Garda Síochána if indeed that happened. And there are no excuses for violence. Peaceful protest is your constitutional right, but criminal damage or violence is not a right under any circumstance. In the video, and I'm going to play the video now, just before we go any further. Let's just play the first video. This is kind of, I think, when it really all got worse.
Record them,
tell the women to come up front! Women of the front! Come up the front!
Now, I'm no expert in policing, but it was quite clear that the protesters obviously were on one side. The Garda riot squad had just arrived, and the women suggested the women come up front. And I think the reason they did that, thinking the Garda Síochána won't attack innocent women, and that would be normally the idea in your head. But you can see clearly there that the guards stormed them while their backs were to them, which I thought was probably unnecessary policing or forceful policing. Anyway, you know, in this video, you can see the riot squad attacking while women have their backs to them, indiscriminately spraying large volumes of pepper spray. One guy on the right-hand side was spraying all the pepper spray. And this type of policing is not what we're used to seeing in Ireland. We're certainly not familiar with it. And it's easy to pass judgment on protesters, but these citizens' frustrations are a result of a very dangerous immigration process. And we have seen that all over the country over the last 2 years. Who do we blame for all of that? Do we blame protesters? No, that's too easy, isn't it? You know, yes, there are going to be agitators. But most people who are protesters at these sites all over the country are just people who are showing concern about their local town, the lack of services. Maybe they have security issues or they feel unsafe. But those concerns are not being taken into consideration because there's no transparency, no communication from the Department of Integration. You're just told you have to put up with it and that's the end of it. All because of a reckless immigration policy, which is about to get an awful lot worse because we're now seeing the Rwanda bill in the next 6 weeks being passed in the UK, which is now going to encourage lots more people to come to Ireland because, as the Minister has already said, 80% of those coming to Ireland are coming through Northern Ireland from the United Kingdom. We cannot return people back to the United Kingdom because the High Court has decided the United Kingdom is not a safe country anymore because they're sending people to Rwanda. So this problem is going to get a lot worse before it gets a lot better. But one thing that really struck us last night was a reporter from Grip Media Fatima Gunning, who was a really good reporter and has been for many years with Quip Media. But Fatima was there, and she's been there quite a lot, reporting on what's happening. And that's her job, to report on what's happening. And last night, while she was reporting, when just, I think it might have been just a little bit after that situation there, while she was reporting, one man fell to his knees. And I'm going to play a little clip of the video that Fatima took. And while he was on his knees, you can clearly see that the Garda took the Garda Síochána took advantage of that situation, and he seemed to be manhandled. As a human being, not just as a reporter, she had serious concerns about his well-being and asked them to stop. She indicated she was press on numerous occasions, and the Garda Síochána didn't really seem to care. They went ahead and have watched the video.
He's on his knees! I'm a journalist! Press! You're pepper spraying press!
And that's what happened to Fatima Gunning when she decided to do the humane thing, which was ask the Gardaí to stop. You can clearly see them kicking the man while he was on the ground. He wasn't going anywhere. And she indicated she was pressed, made it very clear she was pressed, but they still intentionally pepper sprayed her. Quite a traumatic night for her and many people involved in that. And Fatima Gunning from Grip Media, journalist and reporter, joins me on the line. Fatima, hi, how are you?
I've had better days, but I'm still alive and kicking, as you can see.
It's been a sleepless night, I imagine. That's quite traumatic. I remember as a young reporter many, many years ago, I was in a similar situation to yourself and I was attacked up until I ended up with three broken ribs, a busted eye in hospital. And I know how traumatic that situation can be and very difficult for you. I'll come back to that in a minute. But, you know, you've been reporting on what's happening in Utah, Mount Kennedy. This has been going on for some time now. And generally speaking, you know, when you've been there, you know, how have the protests been? Have they been peaceful, or is there quite a lot of interaction with An Garda Síochána and, of course, the workers that came yesterday to start working?
Well, I started my report there about 4 weeks ago when I became aware of the situation. And yeah, the locals have been maintaining a 24-hour vigil, that they called it, at the site. They're there 24/7. They're made up people of all ages. Like, I will say that since the riot squad started to appear on the scene Monday of last week, there's no more kids there. Up until that point, there had been kids. It was, I don't know, almost a little bit like a camp out vibe, because they
like
had
a community atmosphere. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, really. You know, and I did see them like talking to the Garda Síochána, like having chats with them. Like, obviously, you know, there were points where they were frustrated, like, because they don't want this thing to go ahead. And the government is, you know, pushing it through literally at the point of a baton now, even though they've tried to pursue legal avenues. Like, they're looking into the ownership of River Lodge, even, like, you know, they've looked for environmental impact reports, which I believe are outstanding. They have expressed concern for the suitability of the site to house people, because, you know, I actually did a report on HICWA findings from the running of IPAS centres, and, you know, some of the people living in tented accommodation, military style tents, which is the same thing that's being used in Newtown and Kennedy. Sorry, it's hard not to run out of breath on that word because it's so long.
I know.
But, you know, the men that are housed down there in other parts of the country said that they were cold, that their belongings inside were wet, and that they couldn't sleep because there was basically lights on inside the tent 24/7. So it's obviously not, I wouldn't want to live like that.
So had there been any kind of violence or, you know, situations, you know, in the last 4 weeks that came anywhere close to what happened last night?
No.
Okay. So what time did you arrive there yesterday at?
So I was there, I went there during daylight. I think, Janie, it must have been around 2 or 3 o'clock, and there wasn't that much happening. I just looked around, just, you know, to chat to a few people, see what was happening. And there, at that point, I was told that an elderly man who uses a walking stick had been arrested. And there was an ambulance on the site. There was a lady there who the ambulance was called for her. And I did speak to her, and she did say that she had had a kind of an unpleasant interaction with, at this point, I think it was the soft cap riot squad. So the guys who
Yeah.
just wear the caps and the
Yeah,
kind of,
baseball caps, yeah.
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 Yeah, so and then there wasn't really that much happening. So I went home to like do other reports, and then I became aware that the situation had kind of gotten a bit worse, that there were more public order unit there, and that they were pepper spraying people. So I went down to just see what was happening. And yeah, like I think the missing piece in the puzzle for with this for me is like I don't actually know why the public order unit were deployed.
No,
Because
the
there
suggestion
were.
was from the Garda Síochána that there was a fire, and because the fire had been set or started at a disused building or beside a disused building, that they believe things were getting out of hand. That's what their suggestion is, and that's why the public order unit were called.
Well, no, because the public order unit were already on the ground before the fire started, so
Okay.
they
All
were
right, okay.
already deployed. There was a small number of them on the scene. This is all before the fire, by the way. There's a small
Yeah.
number of them on the scene that were standing behind the soft cap guys. And then I heard locals saying, oh, like two cars of well vans with police have been seen passing the Glenview Hotel. So about 15 minutes after that, obviously they were already on their way then.
Yeah.
So this is before the fire. Then about 15 minutes after that, they arrived on the scene. Fire was set to a bunch of pallets that had been, I think they had originally been forming part of a makeshift blockade of the road. And like somebody, I don't know who had like pushed them to either side of the road. And like, because of that, they had been kind of stacked against the wall that forms the exterior wall of a small cottage kind of
Yeah,
house.
the old disused building, yeah. Yeah. So there was no danger to anybody. It was a disused building, although, we don't obviously condone any kind of criminal behavior. But so the scene that we seen in the first video there was when they had just arrived, because we could, if you went to 20 seconds before that, because we edited it, they all got out of the back of the vans, and that's when they literally just arrived. And was that when the real violence started, just when they arrived then?
I guess you could say that it was. I mean, yeah, like I don't know why they advanced. Like if you look at that footage, it looks like that their advance is at least semi unprovoked. Like I guess if they were here, maybe they would say they were trying to get towards the fire that had been started at that point.
It
But yeah, like
it
I don't.
seemed unnecessary. Now, I don't know. I'm not a Garda Síochána. I don't know their tactics and how they work. But what I thought was unfair or seemed unfair was that there was about three or four women at the front with their backs to them. And I, in any man's terms, that doesn't seem to be the way you would do things. You would offer people an opportunity to leave. Or, you would say, get out of here now, or we're going to advance, or whatever it is, or you would give them some sort of warning. But that didn't seem to happen in that video, from what I could see. After that, obviously, the situation you ended up in was a short time later after that. What had happened between that moment that we seen there, and there was quite a lot of pepper spray used there, and I'm sure a lot of people ended up having to use water on their eyes and et cetera, at that point. What happened between then and the point where you saw this man on his knees?
So I was standing down the far end of the road. So the far end of the road is where the riot squad, the big congregation of them was, and that's where the soft cap guys were standing too. I was standing there for about an hour, just filming, silently, just kind of observing what was going on. So after a while, I just, strayed up the other end of the road to see is there anything else going on up here. And I think like at that point, I believe that I became aware that there was some kind of scuffle going on down below. And it is like quite a few, like 100 or 200 meters down the road. So it's a little bit hard to see exactly what's happening unless you physically like run down and see. But somewhere between me being like trying to leg it down the road to see what was happening, I became aware that the pallets were on fire. So, yeah.
Yeah. And when you went down, I mean, we've seen the scene there, for example, when you went down and there was a group of guardia. I don't know whether the man fell to his knees or whether he was pushed to his knees or whether he had done something wrong. We don't know the context of that or why he was on his knees. But I suppose you're there obviously to do a job as a reporter and report on what's happening and get as much footage as you can for Grip Media. But you notice he was on his knees, and I suppose the human side of you felt kind of sorry for him, I imagine, because at that point we could see in the video the guards were kicking him and you know, and jostling him around on the ground. I mean, do you know why he was on the ground or what happened to him?
So just like, as I said, like, sorry, I've had about 2 hours sleep. I kind of ran out of my own thoughts. As I went down to where the scuffle was kicking off with the riot police at the far end of the road. So yeah. I was filming right beside the line, because I like to get right up
close,
front. Like, I believe that's
course,
my job as a journalist.
It is. Yeah.
That's why I dedicated 3 years of my life to getting a degree for this, like, because I actually want to do it properly. And so I got up, you know, right in front. Like, I wasn't disturbing anybody. I was trying to be kind of in the ditch, to try and like just observe without like being in the midst of it exactly. And then, so the riot squad started to advance, and they continued their advance. One of them like saw me in the ditch, like, and was like, "Get out!" And I was like, "I'm going." So I then was kind of forced up the road. As you can see from longer footage that I guess that might have just been released recently, I don't know if anyone would have seen it, mm-hmm. but it is on Gripped, that I just continued, like, you know, with the kind of the group of the protesters, just like going back with my phone, just recording. And then we were pushed back continually past where the fire was up at the other end of the road. Then, like, the man, like, it was a chaotic situation, but I think the man was kind of asking the police, I think, like, "What are you doing?" He was obviously, like, not happy with the situation. I think he did at one point kind of walk back towards them. As we were retreating, he kind of, like, went back towards them a little bit, and then he got pepper sprayed. And then, like, so he was on the... I got pepper sprayed yesterday, and it's not nice.
I've never been pepper sprayed, but I'm sure it isn't nice. I know we all know what it's like just to get something in your eye. You can imagine 10,000 things in your eyes at the same time. So from the pepper spray, obviously that brought him to his knees.
Yes. Yeah. So he was on his knees, like, and, you know, I'm imagining that he mustn't have been able to see. Mm-hmm. So, like, while he couldn't see, like, if you can't see and you're on your knees, you can't run away, obviously.
Yeah.
So in the midst of that, like, they kept coming and they, like, kind of surrounded him. And then I saw, like, legs flying, kind of kicking and stuff.
No, you can see in the video they're kicking him. You can see that they're kicking him in the video.
Yeah, so then that wasn't nice.
You kind of shout. I know, from a human point of view, not as a reporter. You saw this and you went, you know, I can't remember exactly what you said, but, you know, "Stop, what are you doing?"
I said he's on his knees.
Yeah, he's on
his
knees.
I said he's on his knees. That is my exact quote, because he was on his knees.
And that's what anybody would shout in that situation. If I was there, I would have said exactly the same thing. You know, "Lads, give him a break. He's on his knees. You know, you've already got him, so to speak." You know what I mean? There's no need to continue doing that. And that's what anybody would be thinking.
I wasn't telling them to, like, you know, obviously say, like, he's on his knees. I was trying to point out that the dude is, like, incapacitated. Yeah. Like, stop kicking him.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
So at that point, then they turned on you. And you could see them advancing towards you, and you shouted on numerous occasions that you were Grip Media, that you were press, but that didn't seem to matter. They still pepper sprayed you. That must have been a horrible feeling when they pepper sprayed you.
By some miracle, and I guess I pay my guardian angel overtime, it didn't go right into my eyes, even though they sprayed it directly at me. So it got me a lot here. Like, I have makeup on, put on a bit of slap for the Niall Boylan show, but, like... I'm actually kind of all gross and flaky here, and it got on my eyelid. So after a while, it migrated down into my eye. It kind of got in my mouth. It's all over my hands, because you can see that I put my hand up.
That's right.
And then obviously, like, it's all over my hands. It's all over me, and it my hands were burning all night. It was really unpleasant.
Yeah, for people who don't know, it's not pepper spray is not just about your eyes. If it gets on your skin at all, it burns as well. I mean, it's not pleasant. And by the way, there is a protocol. I got to shake on. I do have a protocol in the use of pepper spray and how to use it and when to use it and when is the right time to use it. I've seen a lot of different videos last night and scenes that I could describe as unsettling to watch. Actually, just while you're there, let's just play that last video, which I don't know where this particular video came from, but I know it was Newtown Mount Kennedy last night, because after the incident with Fatima, the guards then start following people into the village and into the town. And there was almost, seems to be, like a curfew at one stage. And I found the whole thing unsettling, and I don't know the context or the background behind it. But have a quick look at this final video, just, and we'll continue talking in a second.
You're directed on the Section 8 of public order.
We live here.
Move back from here now. Coward.
You're the coward!
Move! I'll kill you, fucking run!
Now, I don't know whether the people live there, but they told the guards they live there, and I'm assuming the guards really should kind of look into whether they did live there before they start attacking people. And I don't know what their involvement is beforehand, but no matter what the involvement is, I find it difficult to come up with any reason as to why you would use that kind of force when people didn't seem to be a threat at that particular time. Anyway, I just thought I'd play that as well, because I think the whole thing comes together. Now, there's no doubt, Fatima, that there are agitators. I mean, when you've been to other protests too, I'm sure, many other protests, because we've seen quite a number of them over the last 2 years. I mean, there are no doubt there are agitators within protests who'd like to see trouble. But the majority of people wouldn't be like that, would they?
No, like, especially in Newtown and Kennedy, you know, like, I've been down there, as I said, over the last 4 weeks, and I do recognise a lot of the same faces. Like, you know, I think some of the people down there did put out a call for others to come and support them. And obviously, like, you know, you can't choose who comes. You know, yeah. And if I invite 50 people to my birthday party, I can't really complain if one of them vomits. Yeah. You know, that it's, I guess it's that kind of logic. Mm. But I think there's a kind of a movement or a perception. There's a certain people want to, like, characterize these anti-asylum center protests as inherently violent and, like, you know, reporting on them for about 2 years now. Like, it's not the case. Like, I think what's happening here, really, and I think this is, like, the whole crux of the issue, is that people, like the people in Newtown and Kennedy, and I would describe Newtown and Kennedy as a microcosm of the rest of the country, they have tried peaceful protests, they have tried legal objections, they have tried pleading with their local representatives. They have tried, like, basically all of the usual kind of democratic processes to make their voices heard, and yet the government is going ahead with this immigration policy, as I said, at the end of a baton. I think you had figures yesterday that was it 79% of people think the government has taken in too many asylum seekers and refugees.
That was only a poll, an Amoric poll recently, that 79% of people, yeah.
Okay, and then we saw, obviously, the Red Sea one from a while back that said it was like 75% in the Sunday Business Post. So, you know, the majority of people, I think we're safe to say, in Ireland do not agree with this. And yet the government is using and, you know, maybe we could even say abusing the police force to force this through. And, like, I did chat to some Gardaí, some ordinary ones there about a week ago. And I just asked them, like, this is tough. And they're like, I think it's quite clear that they don't want to be there. I mean, you know, Newtown Mount Kennedy is a small community. Like, some of the ordinary Gardaí there will probably be related to some of the protesters. Like, I recognize a few of the lads from Greystones. Like, you know, we're this area is not very big. So, yeah, it's...
And in relation to yourself, I mean, I remember back in 2002, you won't remember, Fatima, because you're probably a lot younger than me. But in 2002, we had a thing called the May Day Riots in Ireland, which was Reclaim the Streets. And most people remember this. There was a particular cop called RoboCop, was his nickname at the time, because he beat a lot of people. Now, he was later found not guilty of any charges, although he did hit a lot of people over the head with nightsticks. The guards all removed their numbers. There was a lot of trouble at that at the time. And there was an RTE journalist got assaulted at the time. And there was a huge story made out about the National Union of Journalists as to why an RTE journalist got attacked in the middle of the whole riot. Whatever about the riot happening. And the riot, by the way, it turned out in the end, a lot of people were found to be innocent. The Garda, or the state, had to pay out over £1 million, which was a lot of money at the time, 20 years ago, to people who were hit or who had been assaulted at the particular riot. I mean, what I've noticed today is, with the exception of Grip Media and us talking about it now, there are very few people standing up for you. So you're a journalist, you're working in the field, you're there in the thick of it, which is what your job is to do, and you get pepper sprayed by the police. Now, I know John McGurk put a statement, a full statement, and a full story out this morning in Grip Media, and people can go and read that as well. And he had a lot to say in relation to you in particular, by the way, in relation to that. I'm just looking, I have the full statement here, but he did say last night, one of our reporters observing a defenceless man being beaten by the guard, he sought in the heat of the moment to ask them to stop. Some seeking to defend the state or a particular idealised version of the role of journalism have claimed that she should not have done so. That perhaps the perfect reaction would simply have been to record the event and set her humanity to one side. We are proud that her reaction was entirely human and compassionate. She paid the price of receiving a dose of pepper spray aimed directly at her face, despite posing no threat to the Garda Síochána and complying with their instructions. She was not alone. Many other citizens received similar or worse treatment at the hands of the very state whose claimed purpose and duty is in their defence, not their oppression. And that whole piece you can read on Grip Media. But have you received any kind of communication from A, on Garda Síochána, or B, you know, any other journalists to say, gosh, we're really sorry that happened to you, you know, we stand by you? Have you received any of that?
No, there's a good few people like reaching out, they want my footage.
Yeah.
No, it's like mostly, you know, Grift followers, mm-hmm. you know, people who support us. I just think, you know, regardless of whether anyone likes me as a journalist, like, you absolutely don't have to, that's your choice. But, you know, we can't really have a situation where members of the press are essentially prevented from reporting on volatile situations unfolding in the country. And I think, as John wrote, that this kind of thing, it's probably going to get more common rather than less common. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I would encourage other journalists to, you know, report from the front lines, because like during the Dublin riots, there were a lot of journalists on scene. Like I saw the RTE van, and like there are obviously others that I wouldn't recognize, but they were reporting from behind a massive Garda barricade and a line of Gardaí up like near the back of the Ambassador Theatre, which is like hundreds of meters, like 100 mm-hmm. meters. From where the actual action was. So I'm like, were you really reporting on something that you didn't see? You know, like my whole ethos, and like, you know, I'm not some kind of Arnold Schwarzenegger. I'm 5'6" and I'm on the skinny side, if anyone's ever, you've seen me in person. But you know, I'm not any kind of hero. It's just, I just feel like I have to do my job properly. I just feel like the Irish people, I owe it to them as somebody who has taken on the title of journalist, I owe that to them.
To report on the facts. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And why else would you do it? Well, look, Fatima, I wish you well. Hopefully it wasn't too traumatic, and hopefully you'll recover from the trauma of it, apart from the physical injuries, which, as you say, you have your schlap on today, so you've covered it all quite well. Listen, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again very, very soon. Fatima Gunning from Grip Media, thank you. There you go. That's Fatima Gunning, Grip Media. A lot of our callers, by the way, getting on to us today as well in relation to what happened last night. I want to know your thoughts on it. And not just on what's happening, by the way, in Newtown Kennedy. It's a hard one to get out, isn't it? Newtown Mount Kennedy. Of course, what's happening there. I mean, what's happening there, I did say earlier on, there are always going to be agitators. Always. You're going to get a small percentage of agitators. Most of the people that are there at these events or protests are usually peaceful protesters who get frustrated and they're concerned about their local communities. But this is happening widespread across the country. So who do we blame for that? We can't blame protesters for that, because they wouldn't be there if this wasn't happening. We blame a government that has an immigration policy that's out of control. I want to go to Rob Carey. Before I do that, I want to go to Joseph, if I can. Joseph, hi, how are you?
No, thanks for having me on again.
Thank you, Joseph. Joseph, I mean, those scenes that I played, particularly that one, by the way, where, you know, the riot squad are in the middle of the town walking into people's, well, it looked like somebody's garden. I don't know if it was a park or somebody's garden. And the people saying, we live here, you know, and they didn't seem to be a threat to anybody. And they're attacked with pepper spray. I mean, it just doesn't look right. It's kind of reminiscent of Belfast in the 1970s.
Exactly. Now, you have to ask yourself, is this the type of actions of a government that is leading the people by consent? Or is this a kind of authoritarian regime coming to power? And that's what it really seems to me. Every time I get on, you know, I do kind of repeat myself everything the government does is bad. So we definitely need them out. And this sort of thing, when they come in with armed guards to club people and just mace people and do whatever, that cannot be allowed. This should be the type of thing that causes a massive protests and, you know, shuts down the government and just demands an election right here, right now. That's what we need to do. We can't be protesting. You know, there's a protest up in Coolock, there's one in Newtown, there's a few others around. I mean, there's a lot of places where there's not currently one, there might be in the future, but everyone needs to be prepared to say, look, I'm not going to wait until they do that. I'm going to go to the Dáil and we're going to protest and we're going to say, government's out right now. This is not the leadership that we, you know, wanted.
By the way, I want to reiterate again, I 100% condemn all forms of violence. You know, and people shouldn't be setting fire to things and people shouldn't attack Garda Síochána and all that kind of stuff. So I think we all know that that shouldn't happen. But what I find happens in these situations, people who are ordinarily decent human beings and don't break the law find themselves in a very frustrated situation where you've got a group of people all with the same cause, and then all of a sudden something breaks out and people find themselves forced into that situation where they become somebody they aren't normally. But I you have to be responsible for your own actions, and I completely agree with that. And if somebody commits a crime, they must go to the court, and that's the way it has to be, right? But in saying that, we shouldn't have people in these positions in the first place. We shouldn't be coming to this point. And the reason we're at this point now is because we have a government who are reckless around our immigration policy.
Absolutely. And I've been saying this before. They're so completely disconnected from the people, right? And the reason why the protests are out there is because one day a load of trucks showed up and said, there's an IPAS centre going in here. There was no communication. There was no community consultant. There's no support for the community. What are they going to do with 900 or however many, you know, random people from anywhere in the world with any background who may or may not have been vetted? What is that going to do to their community?
You've been at this particular protest once or twice, or you visited it, I believe.
Yeah, I have. I was out there. Now, this is at the start when it started up. Peaceful people, families, mothers, you know, people with kids. The local community, everything you'd expect, the same type of people to be at a bake sale. Mm. And they've been at it for weeks, 24 hours a day, all good, honest people saying, look, we...
And what is their concern? And Fatima mentioned, of course, they had concerns and they had put in legal objections in relation to fire safety and HICWA reports on the building, etc., etc. But what is their major concern? I mean, Newtown Mount Kennedy is not a big place. So what's the major concern?
I mean, a massive dump of, you know, some amount of people with no communication into your community should be a thing for worry for anyone. You can't get an extension on your house without getting planning permission, without putting it in the paper, without all this and that. But suddenly they can completely, you know, destroy a community or distort the population, the demographic there, by dropping in a load of people that, you know, have no reason to be there. Mm. I mean, why are the government so hell-bent on saying, we have to sort this out, we have to get these people in here and completely ignore the people who, you know, are electorate?
And it's not, by the way, can I point out, this is not going to be short-term. People know that. It ends up as long-term. Yeah.
Exactly. And it could expand once they get some in. They'll, you know, they'll disappear into the community and then more people fill those tents, and they disappear into the community and more people fill those tents. It's an absolute disaster. And it's a sign of a government who are no longer representing or caring for the needs of the electorate. Now, this is the type of thing in historical context, if anyone tried to do this, there would have been a revolution. There would have been a fall of government. There would have been people charging the Bastille or whatever. I don't know why people aren't more up in arms about this. Like, this is the thing. We should be demanding an election right now.
Well, the people at the protest are being condemned in all the newspapers today. They're being condemned by the media. You've heard what Drew Harris had to say about it. And you've heard what the ministers had to say about it. The Minister for Justice had to say about it as well. So they're condemning people. Five people were brought to court this morning.
We shouldn't be listening to their opinions. The people who are actively harming the community, we shouldn't be caring about them. We should say, go stuff yourself. I'm not allowing this in my country, in any part of my country, even if I don't live there. And we need to pull the government out to account and say, look, you are harming us. You are not representing us. What you're doing is wrong. We need you out.
Okay, well, hang on for a second, Joseph. Stay there with me because I want to go to Rob Carey. Rob is running as an independent candidate in Bray West and has been at the protest a few times and witnessed, by the way, one arrest there a few weeks ago. Rob, hi, how are you?
Hi, how's things, Noel? Thanks, I'm young.
Good. I mean, look, Newtown Mount Kennedy is certainly in the news today for all the wrong reasons, it seems. I mean, I don't know exactly what happened there last night. I can only go by some of the videos that I've seen online. Some of them look atrocious. But in saying that, Rob, you've been there, like Joseph, you said up to recently, it was peaceful enough.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been there. Like, I don't speak for the people in Newtown. I'm not from Newtown, but I did drop down a couple of times to support. And I mean, I found exactly what you'd expect to find in a quiet Wicklow rural town. I found those pregnant women there, those normal working men, those elderly people there. You know, they were in some kind of like, you know, far right trope gang. You know, they were genuine people, and were really legitimate and, you know, valid concerns that should be taken on board. But sadly, they've been ignored. And at this point now, after like 6-7 weeks now, I think, of a 24/7 vigil, basically, that's been really respectful and you know, well ran and peaceful. And they've been basically, you know, facing this situation where somebody somewhere took the decision that they were going to escalate this situation by sending in, according to the Garda statement, 50 Gardaí, full riot gear, cans of pepper spray, and all of a sudden it ignites. And I've been reading some of the responses and again the Garda statement, and it's talking about how the Garda were attacked, but I find that a little bit implausible, because I mean, I wasn't there, I don't know exactly what happened and what triggered off the violent scenes, but I find it hard to believe that after 6-7 weeks of a peaceful protest, these people would suddenly decide that now that there's 50 Gardaí, you know, with batons and riot shields and pepper spray, now's our time to switch from a peaceful protest to a violent protest. I just don't really find it plausible, to be honest.
And I mean, there was rumours circulating yesterday, of course, that some workmen had arrived with JCBs to dig foundations or whatever they were digging. I could see some of the digging going on or whatever. There was interactions between some of those workers who were wearing masks and balaclavas with some of the locals of the area. There was a lot of name-calling going on. There did seem to be an escalation, I suppose, of the abuse that was going on yesterday, didn't there?
Yeah, I was down there yesterday. I was down there yesterday morning. I left at about 12 o'clock, and there was a steady build-up of in the Garda presence. Mm. There was a back and forth, verbal back and forth going on throughout the day. I don't think that was massively unusual. I think, in a tense situation, that's going to happen. But there's a big, big difference between, you know, variables going back and forth, and then all of a sudden the Gardaí come in with the right shield.
I'm trying to establish where the start of the violence is. We played that little clip earlier on where the Garda Síochána kind of got out of the back of the van in their riot gear, were there for about, say, 30 seconds, and you could see a load of women saying, "Lay women up the front," because obviously they thought, you know, the guards won't attack us if the women are up the front. And they had their backs to get the riot squad, and then all of a sudden the riot squad just charged and start beating everybody and pepper spraying everybody. So, was that the point the violence started, or was it before that point?
I really don't know. Like, when I was there, I was there yesterday. I was there for about an hour and a half, 2 hours, and it was in the morning. I've been watching the videos. I briefly communicated with some of the protesters, but I haven't been able to figure out exactly when it all kicked off. But to me, the clear escalation occurred when somebody made a decision to send 50 Gardaí down to this country lane, you know, to a protest that up until then had been peaceful. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that has to be seen, at least in some regard, as an escalation and a contributing factor to what followed and the scenes that we saw up in Newtown, which were absolutely crazy. And I mean, somebody needs to be held accountable for this. And I know what you're saying about the media seems to be, with obvious exceptions, and Fatima in particular, the media, I was listening to the news talk this morning, and it seems like the normal kind of government / mainstream media bubble seems to be lining up against the protesters, and they're lining up alongside the NGOs that were against the protesters and Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil.
Don't get me wrong. We shouldn't be seeing violent scenes. This is not what we want in Ireland. This is not the Ireland we love. This is not the Dublin we love. This is not the Wicklow we love. This is not what we want in society. We don't want to see running battles with Garda Síochána in the middle of towns running around with riot gear on them. But who do we blame for that? In a bigger scale, and I know you're running as a candidate, by the way, in Bray West. By the way, as I am, to remind people again, running in the European elections. But I know you're running as a candidate in Bray West. And good luck with that. I know immigration is one of the big things this year, of course, for getting elected, you know, between the local elections, the EU elections, and, of course, general election next year. Because immigration is a big problem in this country. It is a big talking point for everybody. But when I say who do we blame for all this, we can only bring the blame back to one thing, which is a bad immigration policy, whereby we don't have the accommodation to deal with the amount of people that are coming into the country, and it's being forced on people, which is forcing people to do things they ordinarily wouldn't do.
I mean, yeah, I think that's quite clear. And the thing about it is there's an attempt to kind of label people who says anything negative about immigration as racist or far right. I don't have any problem with immigration. My issue is the scale of immigration that the government has decided is appropriate, and it clearly isn't. I mean, you can't put 140,000 people. I think we had 140,000 inward. That was the inward migration figure for last year. That is not appropriate in a country that doesn't have any houses. And in addition to that, the nature of some of this immigration, like what is going on in Newtown is absolutely ludicrous. There's nobody who could possibly stand over a decision whereby, you know, let's put 160 men that we don't know anything about into a field in tents on the outskirts of a random village in Wicklow, where we don't have any supports for them. We don't have any. We don't have medical care. We don't have. We certainly don't have appropriate garden numbers, despite what you're seeing last night. They're not going to be there every other day of the week, you know. And it's that's the type of thing that's going to push people to, like you said, to more extreme positions, and it's going to cause flare-ups, and it's going to cause situations like we saw last night. Like you're 100% right. The book stops at the government and the government's immigration policy.
Okay, well, stay there for a second because I want to go to Grace as well. Grace, hi, how are you?
Hi, how are you doing, Niall?
Great. You were there last night.
I was there, yeah.
Okay, can you establish, or can somebody establish, when the actual violence started, or when it was when did the really bad part start?
Well, I suppose we always feared that it was going to turn nasty because everything that we were standing for and asking for was just getting bulldozed over, and nothing was being done by the rules, so to speak. Environmental assessments, health and safety, you know, deeds of ownership, nothing was being shown. There was a lot of underhanded tactics. So I suppose it's a gradual build-up. An elderly man got arrested, and he absolutely got, like, arrested for no reason, and they were very, very rough with him. And, you know, that's gonna make people angry, you know. So
when you say for no reason, just give me some indication. What was he, just walking the wrong way up the street, or?
I believe, yeah, they were all like coming at him. And
these were the soft cap guard, as you call it, at that time. Okay.
Yeah, and he had his walking stick, which he lifted up to say, "Don't do," and they just went for him, you know.
Okay.
They absolutely just bulldozed. He was like, you know, in offense, you know, he wasn't a threat, you know. And then, of course, a later point, they came and the pepper spray came out with no due cause. You know, they should have been trained better. And I believe
There is a protocol around using pepper spray.
Exactly. It's not just willy nilly like they did. You know, I mean, we've all seen the videos of Fatima, and, you know, that when it first came out, you know, it was the same story. Everybody was sort of, you know, they were pushing the people back, and they all were ready with their batons, and they just lashed out. Nobody, I think, was expecting it. Maybe some people were, I don't know. I was in the background looking, and they just whipped out the pepper spray, you know, and all of a sudden
Did you get hit with pepper spray?
No, I didn't. Okay. No, I was. Okay. I stayed back, and I was, you know, I was nervous. I'm not a troublemaker.
Yeah,
I've been peacefully protesting, and I thought peaceful was the way to go because that's the kind of person I am. I thought, you know, the legal things have to work because there's so many wrong things. You know, there was big flatbed trucks coming out of the site with false regs on them. Mm-hmm. And nobody cared. They've been driving up the M50 or down the whatever they did, you know, with false regs. You know, there's so many.
I've seen some of the workers arriving with balaclavas and everything on them as
balaclavas.
Well.
Balaclavas. That's, you know, and attitude.
It all seems quite sinister. Yes. No. There's no doubt. It comes across very sinister. But yeah. In saying that, they'll say they're doing it for their own protection, but they can say what they want. I mean, what's happening at the moment on a bigger scale? I was talking to Rob there a few minutes ago. I mean, look, this is not the first protest in Ireland over the last 2 years. It seems to be a weekly event at this stage, and it's a bigger problem. And people are going to say, you know, those on the other side, Grace, will turn around and say, well, why are you protesting against it? What's wrong with 160 people, you know, who don't have somewhere to live, living in a field up the road from you? That's what they'll say to you.
Yeah, well, I would say to them, put them in a field beside you. Or, you know, it's quite simple. And what we said all along, if this was families, we wouldn't have even been there. If this was 160 men from Greystone, we would still have had, you know, our concerns, because it's not going to end. You know, what are they going to do all day? You know, they've got their money, they've got their food, they've got freedom to roam around our little village, you know, GAA, schools, playgrounds. It's, you know, we've all heard the stories, so you, obviously not so, in the okay. mainstream media.
So your concern was security?
Safety. That was my number one reason for being there. I'm a mother and I have daughters. I have daughters and a son. And absolutely, my number one reason for being there was safety.
Was there any communication, by the way? Was there any communication from the Department of Integration with the people that were there to say, well, look, let's have a meeting in the local community hall. We'll, you know, we'll trash out your concerns. You know, if there's concerns about safety, we'll supply an extra few guards. Was there any communication at all from the Department of Integration?
Sure, there was a meeting. There was a meeting there a few weeks ago and three of the protesters were invited and there was a load of politicians and apparently someone from IPASS. But sure, it was a box ticking exercise. There's no doubt about it, you know, because, you know, they listened and nod their heads and stuff. But sure, it didn't actually mean anything.
Yeah, but
you know,
it was happening. As far as they were concerned, it was happening whether you liked it or not.
Yeah. It was a box ticking exercise for them so they could say, oh, we had a meeting with the people. But we'd already, at that point, they had already started the works in the ground. And there was never any word about it before because they were doing it on the QT. And only for the walkers on this lonely country road noticed something was happening. And they, you know, raised the alarm.
Sorry, Joseph, you wanted to say something there just before I let you go, Joseph. You want to say something in relation to what Grace is saying? Go ahead.
Well, kind of reiterating the point I said before, the government has absolutely no mandate to do this. Like, why are they prioritising this, putting in a centre, over the will of the communities? This is not what we voted for in 2020. And they know, and we all know, if there was a vote on us, a referendum, it would be an overwhelming no to say, like,
well, of course it would, because with the Red Sea poll and the poll last week by Amoruk, which is 79% of people in this country, according to the Amoruk poll and the Red Sea poll, 75% I think in the Red Sea poll, said they believe we have let too many people into the country. So the overwhelming majority of people are not in favour of what's going on at the moment. Yeah. Well, if that's the case, why do you think the government are doing it? Here's a bunch of people who want to get elected next year. You know, why would they be doing this?
I think the very highest level of this government are not working. They may have realised already the situation's so bad they won't win again. They might as well get a nice advisor job in Europe or something. We'll see what happens after the election, but they're definitely not getting elected again on based on what they're doing. Now, I just want to say, because I have to shoot off really quickly, Rob Carey is a great man. I'll be voting for him, and I encourage everyone in Bray West to do the same.
All right, thanks. I'm sure Rob is delighted to hear that. I'm sure Rob is out canvassing as we speak. Rob, is there anything else you want to say there just before I let you go? I want to keep Grace there for the moment. Is there anything else you want to say, Rob?
I'd just like to say I think it's kind of beholden anybody who is going to stand in the local election to come out now immediately and publicly back the people of Newtown. And even better still, go down to Newtown, show your face, talk to them, listen to their concerns, and hopefully, fingers crossed, on the far side of the local election, we'll have enough people in the councils around Wicklow that we can put an end to this.
All right, listen, thank you very much indeed, Rob Carey. And Rob is running as an independent candidate in Bray West. If you want to vote for him, give him your number one vote, if that's what you want to do. Grace, save me for a second. Let me just go to Edward as well. Edward, hi, how are you?
Good afternoon, Niall.
Edward, you know, from what I'm hearing, and if I was listening to the media all day, I'd be forgiven to think that, you know, that the locals went nuts last night. But from what I'm hearing, you know, there was a peaceful protest for 4 weeks. One or two smaller incidents, a bit of probably vulgarity, a bit of shouting and roaring every now and again, nothing really major. And this kind of all kicked off yesterday, obviously, when work was being done and the kind of the verbal assaults, I suppose, escalated somewhat. But then when you see that video of, you know, 50 guards arriving with, you know, riot gear to deal with what seemed to be about 20 or 30 residents, seemed a little bit over the top.
Well, yes, it did. But I think it's important to mention that Newtown, Dom Kennedy, is really just a measure of the intense anger that exists in this country at the moment. But people have this odd expectation of the Gardaí that they're going to behave themselves in a riot, Niall. I mean, let's not forget, some of these riot Gardaí are brought around on the end of a leash. They have to be lured out of the station with pieces of raw meat, in my opinion. And of course, people like Fatima Gunning are going to be targeted. But how else are they going to get revenge for all the things we say about them? In Ireland, you get pepper sprayed. In Israel, you get shot. Okay? That's the reality of the situation. The uniform doesn't matter a jot. But when somebody's thrown half the side of a hotel at you, you're going to want to kill them back. And that's what we're looking at here. We're looking at an absolute shit show, you know. And
how do we resolve, you know, this carry on? It's been going on for 2 years now, by the way. And again, I want to reiterate, I don't condone any types of violence or criminal activity by anybody, including members of an Garda Síochána, if they're guilty of that as well. But so how do we resolve this situation? Well, the ballot box is probably the only way to resolve it, isn't it? Really? Because the government are not listening, are they?
Yeah, well, you're kind of asked and answered the question there in the same breath. But, I mean, as far as I can see, I mean, we've got 7,300 failed asylum seekers sitting and floating around the country, okay? And Helen McEntee says she sent back less than 100. She sent back three.
Mm, three, yes, according to Michael McNamara, yeah. Three people, yeah.
Yeah, three, yeah.
These were back to out of a number of countries who had accepted them back, by the way, who said, hey, we'll take them back. And they only sent three.
Correct. But the point that needs to be made here is, I mean, look at, where are you going to put the 7,300? And now you're expecting people to stay quiet and shut up about it? I mean, when you're shoving them into local communities?
But there's a bigger problem here, Edward. This is going to get, this problem, and I only spoke to Nigel Farage come back about 4 months ago, and Nigel will come back on with us again next week. But he was talking about the Rwanda bill at the time. Now, the Rwanda bill has now been passed and will be passed in 6 weeks' time. So now we have a situation where the minister has already admitted 80% of the people that are coming into the country are coming from the United Kingdom. Now, clearly they're not fleeing war because they're fleeing the United Kingdom. So they're going to be coming. There's a lot more of them going to be coming here because they don't want to go to Rwanda. We've been told by the High Court in Ireland that we can't send them back to the United Kingdom because it's not a safe country anymore and it's outside the EU. So now we have a huge problem that thousands of people are going to be coming from the United Kingdom to a country that's already out the door. We can't supply accommodation for anybody. All we can supply them with is a tent, you know, and a street to live on. And so where do we go from here? Well, the Department of Justice is out of control. It's completely out of control.
Well, it is. And who is going to turn off that tap is the question. And I'm delighted the fact that you have decided and made the very sensible decision to run for the MEP position, because that's the type of voice we need now in Ireland. We don't need these aegis that we currently have. We need them out. We need people like you in, who speak the language of the people of this country, and who represent our views and represent our mood, as it were, because they're not listening to us. Let's face it, now, they are not listening. And they're not paying attention to the electorate. And they're going around now in a few weeks' time with one hand as long as the other looking for more votes. I would tell them to feck right off, the lot of them, you know, and put in some decent politicians like yourself who will do the job that they've been elected to do. That's it.
I mean, sorry, just to go back to Grace. Grace, do you think that's the only resolution now at this point for you and the locals is, well, firstly, the local elections in June, where you can bring in some councillors, independent councillors who might be on your side, but certainly the general election, but maybe by the end of the year. Is that the only course of action now?
I think so. I mean, I don't see another way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't.
And the by the way, is the protest finished now? I'm assuming you're not there now.
No, I don't know what's going on now. I believe they have the road blocked off, so.
Yeah.
And I believe that the migrants are in there and they have their whole thing set up. And so I don't know what's going on, but.
Do you feel it's a lot better? Sorry, go ahead, Edward.
Life in the village is going to change for everybody because all, you know, as I said, I'm a mother. All I talk to is mothers, grannies, granddads, and everybody's having the same thing. I just started to give my child some freedom. They could go to the shop. They could walk to their friends. That's going to end because now everybody's scared. You know,
You have a right to feel like that, whether it's unfounded or not, we don't know, but you have a right to feel like that.
No.
Sorry, Edward, what are you trying to say to Grace?
Sorry, look, the Gardaí are a punchbag for a lot of the anger that exists right now. I mean, there's no point in attacking them. I mean, they're going to do exactly what they've always done, which is attack back, and they're not going to behave themselves, let's face it. But, I mean, setting places on fire, as we've seen happen, you know, around...
That's not the answer either, no.
No, but setting places on fire around various flashpoints is definitely, definitely unacceptable. I mean, that's not going to work. That's cutting your nose off to spite your face now. I mean, you know, whatever.
No, all that does is, and we've seen that during the riots in November, all that does is gives the government a reason to give out in the Dáil and call people like Grace right wing. You know, so all that, that's all that does. You know what I mean?
And it sends them straight back up to Mount Street and they start shitting all over the pavement like they've been doing for the last several months. Come on, come on. Let's just call a spade a spade. That's not acceptable either. So really, they're just running them around the country. Where will we put these devils? But the whole point about it is somebody needs to close that door that we have opened up to them. Because as you rightly pointed out, Rishi Sunak now is going to cause a deluge of migrants to head
out. It's one of the big stories on Sky News today. That, you know, it talks
about... all the boats are going to come our way.
But that's what it says. It says on Sky News today that the majority of migrants that normally would be coming into the UK will now go to Ireland because they'll fear being sent to Rwanda.
Yeah, but wait for it. Who is going to police our waters? We don't have the resources or the Coast Guard.
The biggest problem we're going to have is that there's thousands, and I mean thousands of migrants currently in the United Kingdom awaiting that decision, wondering, am I going to be kicked out of the country? Now they know they are going to be kicked out. They're going to be sent to Rwanda. They're now going to be doing what every other one done, which is go to Scotland, across the border into Belfast or into, you know, Larne or whatever, from Larne over, and get the bus down to Dublin. So how do you stop? How do you stop that situation without having a man in the middle of the road in Uri?
You don't under the EU migration pact. And secondly, there's one more important point here that was left out of the narrative, and that is Poland now are considering sending over 650,000 Ukrainians out of the country back to war against Russia. Where are they going to go? They're certainly not going to wander straight over into a war zone. They're going to come over here. We are basically a nation of Egypts. The amount of people that we let come into this country willy-nilly with no checks or controls. And secondly, when we do let them in and they're meant to be sent back, we don't.
No, I get it. Grace and Edward, listen, thank you very much indeed to both of you. Let me just go to, who have I got to first? Maliki, how you doing? Sorry, I've got to get through people very quickly because I believe I have a ton of callers to get through. Maliki, hi. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Maliki.
Good afternoon, Al.
Maliki, I mean, the events last night, I mean, look, it's despicable on all sides to see that kind of violence happen. You know, I mean, that's not the Ireland I want to represent.
On all sides. This was one-sided attack on a peaceful protest by state forces. It was only a matter of time before they'd done this. And Simon Harris, when he spoke at his Ardesh and said, you've seen nothing yet, this is what he meant. This is the clamping down of any dissent in this country. Simon Harris and the two Harrises are out there this morning supporting the police and saying that they've done a great job. It's not a great job to batten women and men. It's not a great thing to be pepper spraying people.
That should be the last resort in any situation.
If this was in North Korea or China or Moscow, we would be told that it was an overreaction by the state. And that they were attacking ordinary peaceful protesters. I was in Newtown and Kennedy with those people on last Friday, mainly women sitting around, mothers who are trying to protect their communities. And what we have now is a paramilitary police force under Drew Harris, who thinks that this is Burntollet, that this is the Garavahy Road. And that's what we are facing.
But why did this... I still can't get to the bottom of... If it was a peaceful... Hang on, Maliki, just answer this question for me.
It was a peaceful protest.
That's what I'm saying.
There's no if about it.
No. What I'm saying is, it was a peaceful protest. The reason I use the word if is because if it was a peaceful protest in the last 4 weeks, which it has been, and I've seen the videos, right?
No, 6 weeks now.
Oh, 6 weeks, sorry. And all of a sudden, yesterday, it escalated into, you know, two big vans arriving with, you know, 40 or 50 guards in riot gear. And I seen the video of them attacking those women with their backs to them, by the way, as well. I mean, what made it go from that point to that point last night? What was the catalyst
for
that?
Because we are winning, Niall. We are winning. We heard the rhetoric from them about people with masks outside O'Gorman's house. Yet we had masked police protecting masked workers going into that site yesterday. Is that a normal society? This is a political and NGO class who have lost the support of the people. This is now a dictatorship, and they should do the honourable thing, and Harris should be on the way to the Phoenix Park to resign and have an election, have a general election, and let's sort out them. And the people.
So do you think that's the only way to sort out this problem? Is well, we have local and EU elections on the way, but having a general election.
Let me be very clear. We are on the precipice in this country of serious problems. And I'm not going to define where this could go.
But I don't think anybody wants it to go there, Maliki. Nobody wants it to go there.
It seems that the government wants it to go there. At this point, what we have are the elections in May. We have the major rally next week. And at a call out, we will need hundreds more stewards for next Monday for the bank holiday. Because I have no doubt that the police will try and do what they tried to do in February and instigate attacks on our people. And we won't tolerate it. What we are facing is the end of our nation. We have a political class who just don't care about the people. And, you know, what all of the people on our side of the fence need to do at this time is not to be provoked by the state. There will be more of these actions by the state. And this is a deliberately designed to stop other communities standing up. And it's a deliberate tactic by the political and NGO class, directed by Simon Harris, by Drew Harris, and by Helen McEntee, the three most incompetent people who shouldn't be sent to run a bath, never mind run a country. We are in very dangerous times now.
No, I accept that. And I don't want to see those scenes. As I said last night, when I saw those scenes last night, made those videos, it was reminiscent of what we would have seen in the middle of the Troubles up in Belfast back in the 1970s. Absolutely.
Remember how the Troubles started, Niall, in 1969, when the B Specials, Drew Harris's buddies and his father's buddies.
Again, Maliki, I say to you, nobody wants to see those scenes, but people feel the only way out of this now is a general election because they know the government are not listening to them. I mean, we only had the Amora poll last week, again, that said 79% of people believe the government are not doing this right and letting too many people into the country. So realistically, they know the people know this, but they're not listening. They don't care. We've seen Michael McNamara question the Minister of Justice on the fact that 7,000 people were in the country that shouldn't be here and only 300 of those people had actually been returned or deported or given a deportation order on that. And even in relation to countries that were willing to take them back again, the safe countries, only 3 people had actually been sent. The whole thing is a complete and utter shambles. But yet we've a minister on the radio yesterday smiling our brains off while she was talking about this wonderful package of the EU Migration Pact, which, let me tell you, folks, is absolute and utter nonsense. Because the EU Migration Pact, all it is more of the same. If they're incapable of doing it now, what makes you think in 2 years' time when they implement the EU Migration Pact, they're going to be any better at it? They won't be. We don't need it. We already have the existing laws. Maliki, thank you very much indeed. And I appreciate you coming on the show. I have so many people to get through. Nick. Okay, let's take a little break there because, of course, for our podcast, this has gone on a little bit too long. So we're going to break it down into 2 parts. So don't forget, if you're now watching on Spotify or listening on Spotify or iTunes or wherever you happen to be listening or watching, all you got to do is go back to the main menu and go to part 2. Join us then.